The word of God given to us today is Acts 20, 25 to 27. Acts chapter 20, verses 25 to 27. Allow me to read the words. And now behold, I know that none of you among whom I have gone about proclaiming the kingdom will see my face again. Therefore I testify to you this day that I am innocent of the blood of all. For I did not shrink from declaring to you the whole counsel of God. Amen. Paul is setting off for Jerusalem, knowing that it means captivity and tribulation. He calls the elders of Ephesus, a city where he had been preaching the gospel for 3 years, to Miletus to give them a farewell sermon. He was giving them his last words while he is still alive. This is our fourth Sunday looking at Paul's farewell sermon, which is continued in today's passage with verse 25. And now, behold, I know that none of you among whom I have gone about proclaiming the kingdom will see my face again. The original Greek verb that is translated as behold here is idu, which is used to express astonishment or a need to focus someone's attention or awareness. It's also used when the speaker wants to emphasize what is being said, similar to how the word behold is used in the English language. Paul had used this word in verse 22, which we've already looked at before. And now, behold, I am going to Jerusalem, constrained by the Spirit, not knowing what will happen to me there. At every stop Paul made, the Holy Spirit showed him that his journey to Jerusalem will be one of captivity and tribulation. But Paul didn't consider his own life valuable in the least bit in light of carrying out the mission that the Lord was giving him. This is what he told the elders, and used the word behold in saying so in order to emphasize his firm determination. Verse 25 of today's passage also starts with behold. Although the Korean translation only has the word behold, the original Greek text is written as kai nun idu, which means and now behold. By starting his words like this, rather than just using the word behold, Paul is making really sure that the elders of Ephesus are paying attention to his words. If we look at the original Greek text, the order of what Paul says next is different from the order in the Korean translation. In the original Greek text, the expression, I know, comes first. Because the verb form in Greek shows the gender and singularity or plurality of the subject is usually left out in the Greek language. However, Paul uses the first person subject, I, in Greek to say, I know. This is to emphasize that it is I, not anyone else in the world, who knows. And the thing that Paul wanted to emphasize was the fact that he knows that none of them would see his face again. If we want to literally translate what Paul is saying, stressing what he is stressing, his words would be as follows. And now, behold, I know. I know you will not see my face again. My face, which went around seeking you and proclaiming the kingdom, this face, I know you will never see this face again. Paul is leaving his last testament to the elders of Ephesus with a great heartfelt urgency. But the elders of Ephesus still don't seem to understand that the goodbye this time could be their eternal goodbye with Paul on earth. That is why Paul is using the word behold and the first person subject I to emphasize, I know that none of you will see my face again. What we need to focus on here is that Paul defines eternal goodbye on earth, death, as never seeing one's face again. If our physical bodies didn't have faces, we wouldn't know who is who. To a living person, the face is an important indicator that shows one's identity. In that sense, the Korean word for face is literally the shape of your soul. It's your soul as seen by other people's eyes. In that sense, the face isn't just any part of our body. It is us ourselves. Paul is being very observant when he's defining his death as people not being able to see his face again. Everyone is bound to bid this world an eternal goodbye one day. When you're still living, it is possible to meet someone again, even after getting separated from them physically. Being alive means the possibility of meeting people again. Everyone is bound to bid an eternal goodbye to this world because no one can avoid death. Death fundamentally prevents us from seeing not only people who were physically far away from us, but people who had been right next to us, we can never see them ever again. When Paul is telling the elders of Ephesus, I know you will not see me again, he is forecasting his death, which is something they are not aware of. Do you know what death is? Death is being unable to see that person's face again. No matter how much you want to, you will never be able to see the dead person's face again. Since you can't see the dead person's face again, you will not be able to hear the words that come out of his or her mouth again. Since you can't see the dead person's face again, you will not be able to tell him or her things that his or her ears will hear. Since you can't see the dead person's face again, you will not be able to smile for him or her to see with his or her eyes again. This is the case when you are alive and the other person is dead. When you die, it's vice versa. I am a person. Even if I have cancer, even if I can't move my limbs freely because part of my body is paralyzed, even if my body grows weak as I grow old, as long as I'm breathing, I am a person. But the moment I stop breathing, I stop being a person and become a corpse. My face doesn't disappear from my body the minute I stop breathing. Even when I stop breathing, my body will still have a face. My body will be laid in a coffin, and the coffin will be lowered, but I will still have a face, mouth, ears, eyes, and all. But I will be called a corpse and not a person from the moment I stop breathing, because my face, the eyes, mouth, and ears which form part of my face will no longer function. I will not be able to tell my loved ones that I love them with my mouth anymore. I will not be able to hear the voice of my loved ones with my ears, no matter how much they cry out. I will not be able to see my loved ones with my eyes, no matter what form they take on. The Greek word for face is prosopon. This is a compound word consisting of the preposition pros, meaning direction, and ops, meaning eyes. Your eyes are the most important feature of your face. When you turn your face toward a certain direction, it means you are turning your eyes to that direction. Your eyes are bound to turn toward the one you love and the direction you are interested in. And that movement of your eyes is the movement of your face. Eyes are also the window to your soul. Even when you can't express yourself through any language in the world, you can express your feelings to another person with your eyes. Likewise, you can read the other person's feelings through their eyes. But death completely and eternally stops all functions of a person's face, which are the most important functions of a person. In his farewell sermon to the elders of Ephesus, Paul is talking about his death when he tells them, "I know you will not see my face again." What is the meaning of this farewell? What message is Paul trying to ingrain in the elders of Ephesus through this sermon? By telling them this, Paul wanted them to take a good look at his face because they wouldn't be able to see it again. Furthermore, he is asking them to live with the same face as his face from now on. So what is the face of Paul who's leaving this testament? According to verse 25, it was a face that sought people and proclaimed the kingdom of God. Paul's testament continues like this. In verse 26, therefore, I testify to you this day. The expression that is translated as this day in the original Greek text is en te semeron hemera. This can be more accurately translated as the day that is today. Paul, in his farewell sermon, is emphasizing that today is the day. He knows that after today, after this moment, the elders of Ephesus will not see his face again. Verse 26, therefore I testify to you this day that I am innocent of the blood of all. Paul is proclaiming to the elders of Ephesus that because this day he's showing his face for the last time, from this moment on he is innocent of the blood of all. What does this mean? Verse 27, for I did not shrink from declaring to you the whole counsel of God. Paul is innocent of the blood of all because he did not shrink from proclaiming the kingdom and will of God to all people. Paul is applying a passage in the book of Ezekiel in the Old Testament when he is saying this. This is Ezekiel chapter 33, verses 2 to 6. Son of man, speak to your people and say to them, if I bring the sword upon a land, and the people of the land take a man from among them and make them their watchman, and if he sees the sword coming upon the land and blows the trumpet and warns the people, then if anyone who hears the sound of the trumpet does not take warning, and the sword comes and takes him away, his blood shall be upon his own head. He heard the sound of the trumpet and did not take warning. His blood shall be upon himself. But if he had taken warning, he would have saved his life. But if the watchman sees the sword coming and does not blow the trumpet so that the people are not warned, and the sword comes and takes any one of them, that person is taken away in his iniquity, but his blood I will require at the watchman's hand. In those days, the role of the watchman was crucial. The fate of the people living in the city depended on the watchman. Unlike Korea, which is mountainous, the Middle East consists mostly of flat horizons and deserts. So when an enemy is spotted far off on the horizon, it means it would still take days for that enemy to cross the stretch of land and attack the city. Therefore, when a watchman spots an enemy and gives out a warning, the people and the army of the city have the time to prepare to meet the enemy or to flee to another city. If the watchman discovered the enemy and blew his trumpet, the fate of the people, even if they lose in battle or fail to flee to another city, even in that case, the fate of the people was not on the watchman. That's because the watchman had done his part by giving the warning. But if the watchman had spotted the enemy on the horizon and still did not give out a warning, and the enemy overtook the city, killing the people, the death of the people would be on the watchman. The king of the city would hold the watchman accountable. That's because the watchman had not done his duty. This is Ezekiel 33:7-9. So you, son of man, I have made a watchman for the house of Israel. Whenever you hear a word from my mouth, you shall give them warning from me. If I say to the wicked, O wicked one, you shall surely die, and you do not speak to warn the wicked to turn from his way, that wicked person shall die in his iniquity, but his blood I will require at your hand. But if you warn the wicked to turn from his way, and he does not turn from his way, that person shall die in his iniquity, but you will have saved your soul. God doesn't call a person to become a prophet and entrust that person with his word just to have that person monopolize his word and use it for personal gains or glory. It is to make that person a watchman of his word. The prophet, in order to do his role as a watchman, needs to give warning. And if the people do not heed his warning, it is not the prophet's responsibility. The prophet has already done his duty faithfully. But if the prophet did not blow the trumpet of God's word that he should have, and the people around him are damned, God would hold that prophet responsible. That was because the prophet had not done his role as a watchman faithfully. Paul is describing himself as a watchman of the gospel. A watchman needs to continuously look out for the ever-emerging death of people and blow the trumpet of God's word, warning people that they can't escape God's judgment and that they should repent and turn to God, the Holy Trinity. Paul is describing himself as a watchman of the gospel to the elders of Ephesus based on this passage in Ezekiel. Paul has gone around throughout Asia Minor, which is the western part of today's Turkey and includes the city of Ephesus. And he has preached the gospel to the people of Asia Minor. The heart of the gospel is that eternal life and eternal salvation can only be found in Jesus, who paid the price for people's sins on the cross. 2,000 years ago, there were many stumbling blocks in preaching this gospel to people who were living as slaves to idolatry and materialism. But Paul did not let anything restrain or hold him back in doing his job as a watchman to the fullest. This is why Paul is declaring to the elders of Ephesus that he is innocent from the blood of all. To understand the literal meaning of Paul's declaration, Paul is saying once he has preached the gospel, even if there were people who did not heed the gospel after hearing it, this wasn't his responsibility, according to the passage in Ezekiel. But at this point, we should clearly understand what Paul really wants to emphasize in today's passage. Paul wants the elders of Ephesus to take a good look for the last time at his face, for they would never get to see it again in this world. And the face he wants them to see is the face of a watchman for gospel. The watchman for the gospel doesn't always get to tell people what they want to hear. Sometimes he or she needs to blow the trumpet of reprimand and admonition to wake up foolish people who are on the path to sin and death. Sometimes he or she needs to fight against forces of darkness that are trying to swallow the entire world up. But the face of a watchman for the gospel is set apart from the face of the world. The face of a watchman whose soul is captivated by the word is different from the face of the world. And this face of the watchman has the power of life and conviction, and his or her eyes, ears, and mouth has the power to save and renew the world. After being called by the Lord on the road to Damascus, Paul lived by this face for the rest of his life until his death by beheading. Therefore, Paul can honestly declare that he had done his duty as a watchman of the gospel to the fullest, and that he is innocent of the blood of those who chose to ignore the gospel. Paul is not saying this to evade responsibility. This isn't Paul saying he is not responsible for other people. This is Paul urgently pleading the elders of Ephesus to live the way he did, to live with the same face from now on. Only someone who loves others, serves others, whose soul is captivated by the gospel, can live with the face of a watchman for the gospel. And only such a person will be able to not only live without regret, but be without regret in the moment when he or she stops breathing and stands before God. Paul was a tyrant that had once persecuted the church, but he was able to live with such a face because the Lord called him as a watchman of the gospel on the road to Damascus. And the Lord was present as the Spirit in Paul and was embracing Paul in his word. Today is the second Sunday of the Advent when we wait for the birth of Jesus who came to earth to save us, and we wait for his return. Jesus was the watchman for the kingdom of God. He came to earth to deliver the kingdom of God to humans who were trapped in sin and death. And he comforted us. And at the same time, he reprimanded us for our sins. He gave himself as a sacrifice on the cross to tear down the wall that stood between people and the kingdom of God. He broke the chains of death and rose for eternity to open the way for people to become eternal citizens in the kingdom of God. That is why Jesus is our eternal good news, our gospel, and that Lord is calling us one by one. He wants each one of us to be watchmen for the gospel. And today, through this passage of Paul, the Lord is commanding us to live as the watchman for the gospel. This is how we can save ourselves and the world and walk the right path. What face are you wearing in your life today? Is it the face of a soul crushed by worldly desires? Or the face of a soul captivated by the word? The face of a watchman for the gospel. When you take leave of this world, what face do you want the people you leave behind to remember you by? Death means that you can never show your face again to the people you leave behind. They can never see your face again. Every single one of us is approaching death every second. Let us live as watchmen for the gospel, abiding in the Lord, who is the watchman for the kingdom of God. Let our eyes be a mirror for the gospel, our mouth a speaker for the gospel, and our ears a receiver for the gospel. That way, when we stop breathing and we stand before God, we can be wearing faces without regret. And in the souls of the people we leave behind in this world, our faces will be remembered as signposts for the eternal gospel. Let us pray. Lord, you have helped us realize that death means we can't see the faces of others again, and that others can't see our face again. Before that day, starting from today, which is the second Sunday of the Advent, help us to rectify our faces. You are already abiding in us in the Spirit, and you keep us abiding in your word. Help us wear the faces of a watchman whose soul is captivated by the Lord's gospel. Help our faces, which are set apart from the world, to have the power and conviction to save and renew the world. Help our faces to reflect the life of Jesus, the watchman for the kingdom of God, who came to earth to comfort and reprimand people, who paid the price for people's sins with his death on the cross and resurrection. May the people of the world see our faces and receive comfort and the power of life, and may they see our eyes and be convicted of setting their lives straight. So when we stop breathing and stand before God, may our faces have no regret whatsoever on them. In Jesus' name we pray, Amen.